Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hold of it!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Away!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show. And online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to Grill Nation with Jason Grill. Thanks for joining me again today on 980 AM KMBZ, as well as online at grillnationshow.com, as well as on iTunes and TuneIn Radio, as well as Stitcher on podcast. Very excited to have you all listening today. I want to quickly mention on iTunes, I would very much appreciate it. We have a lot of listeners who are on the go, whether they're at the gym, at their office, working out, working hard, that listen via iTunes. And would love if you all would rate this show and support Grill Nation however you'd like, with a review or a rating on the iTunes page, because we'd love to spread the word to many more people here in Kansas City and throughout the country. And one way to do that is through rating the show. So if you like the show, I would love to have you give it a few stars, and I think it's a 4 or 5 star program there, and put a review. We appreciate having you guys listening every week, and the feedback has been well taken, and I appreciate all the thoughts, yay or nay, that have come through the emails and Twitter and Facebook and whatnot over the last few months. Appreciate you listening as well via podcast. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation show before we preview today's amazing show we're going to have. They are title sponsors of the show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and 2S Advisors and Ryan Rink. Also contributors and guest hosts to Grill Nation are The Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co., Ryan Mabey, who will be joining us next month. He's traveling a lot right now. One Light Luxury Apartments, great folks over there. Two Light is almost up, and I'm assuming Three Light will be coming on board here in the near future as well. They're just continuing to grow downtown, and downtown Kansas City are great places to be. And lastly, Reactor Design Studios and Clifton Alexander, who's a guest host and honor contributor. Loved the show we did with him recently with John Nemeth from AECOM Sports, talking about sports architecture and sports stadium finance. Very cool show. Thanks for Clifton Alexander for being a co-host of the show and on-air contributor to the Grill Nation show. On today's show, we are lucky to have on two great Kansas Cityans, Greg Owsley, who is the STEAM director at Rockhurst High School. They have a very impressive STEAM program going on. I'll get into that in just a second. Joining Greg Owsley on today's show will be Millie Brown. Millie Brown is on the Rockhurst board, and also had two children who went to Rockhurst High School, as well as her husband, Michael Brown, who is the CEO of Euronet, who was a Rockhurst High School graduate. Michael and Millie pledged almost $2.1 million to help Rockhurst High School implement its science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics STEAM curriculum around 2 years ago. It was summer of 2015 when this became public in the Kansas City Business Journal. And really exciting news, and they're doing some really great work over there at Rockhurst High School, which I will get to just in a second. But one of the cool things they're doing is working with students. It touches all students, and Rockhurst is the high school, I believe, around 1,000 students, private Catholic, private Jesuit high school here in Kansas City, only all-male school as well in the Kansas City area. But they're teaching students why STEAM is important. They're impacting not only Rockhurst, but also impacting the Kansas City community at large, with future people that can hold down really great jobs here in the area and also go on and do other things. And just they've actually been accredited and received one of the best accreditations you can get in this field with the associated member with the National Consortium of Secondary STEM Schools, the NCSSS, made them an advanced ED designation on certification. They're the only school in the Missouri and Kansas states who are a STEAM certified advanced EG designation. And we're going to get into that in the show, but really, really congratulations to them and kudos to Rockhurst High School for receiving this accreditation in such an early phase. I believe they will be talking to other schools and teachers about how they did it and helping the community so it can grow as well in its STEAM education. I'm going to also talk to the folks from Rockhurst High School today about what they're doing with entrepreneurship for others and their entrepreneurship classes, which is a really cool program. And their motto really is, you know, but besides Men for Others and Entrepreneur for Others, it's, you know, school world and real world, they shouldn't be separate. We need to advance our education for folks so they can start fulfilling these jobs in the community and in the country when they graduate. So they're really big on entrepreneurship for others. They're really big on STEAM education. They're also really big on coding. Every student at Rockhurst High School is required to take a freshman coding class. We'll get into that on the show, which I think is pretty cool because, you know, nothing like that obviously existed when yours truly was in high school. But we did have keyboarding classes, which learning keyboarding as a freshman was probably the most impactful class I ever had. I'm watching Mark over there using the hunt and peck method on his computer as we tape the show. No, I'm just kidding. But can you imagine if you were still hunting and pecking on the keyboard? No, I can't. And one of the things I learned was the simplest thing. And nowadays, it's coding. It's not only coding to learn how to be a programmer, but it's coding to teach students how to think analytically, how to solve problems, which in our world, as we know, is a big deal. Problem solving, and no matter what occupation you take on, it's very important. So we're going to talk to them about how they've implemented coding at Rockhurst High School. Again, along with their entrepreneurship class, they have totally redesigned some of the spaces in their school, the important accreditation that they announced as an associated member with the National Consortium of Secondary STEM Schools, honored with the Advanced Education certification for their STEAM program. That's science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. I'm going to talk to them all about that. So it's going to be a really exciting show today. And you know what? This is the reason why we're having Rockhurst High School on the show. Not only is because it's a great high school here in Kansas City and it's excelling, but because they're doing things that are unique. They're doing things that are different. There's programs that they're putting forth that are really helping students and training the future workforce. As we mentioned on past shows, the KC Tech Council study shows that there's a shortfall of an educated workforce here in Kansas City in STEAM and STEM areas. And Rockhurst and Greg Owsley and Millie Brown are trying to fix that. And also, I want to mention, too, it is all about job creation. It is all about job preparation. Rockhurst High School is truly doing its part to prepare young men before they get to college. So excited to have not only a great, great smarts in the studio. Greg is a brilliant person. He's a mathematics major, and he's also a juggler, which we'll get into. But Millie Brown, just a great person, great philanthropist here in Kansas City, and excited to have them on the show to talk about the STEAM program at Rockhurst as well as their entrepreneurship and coding classes. Rockhurst continuing to be a leader in the high school world here in Kansas City and both in Missouri and the Kansas side. I want to quickly mention, too, the program going on right now at the Kansas City Business Journal. They're launching we talk a lot about company culture on this show with our guests, but they're launching a coolest office spaces contest. And it was just in the Business Journal this week. What makes a cool office? It could be the view, it could be the ping pong table, it could be the treadmill desk, but to be really impressive, the design has to go beyond perks. And so they're launching a contest. You can check out at KC Biz Journal. And it's going to be pretty cool. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on here, again, is culture, company culture, and it's going to be seen to see who wins this contest. But they're looking for businesses to submit a short application and some photos of their offices. The strongest contenders will be placed in the bracket style competition, and then it will be up to readers to vote on their favorites. Is your office awesome? Have your marketing department submit a nomination? Very cool contest going on at the Kansas City Business Journal, so check it out. Coolest office spaces contest for your clients, for your friends, for your company. Something to look forward to. Again, on today's show, we will have Greg Owsley and Millie Brown. Greg is the STEAM director at Rockhurst High School, and Millie Brown is on the board and also a contributor, her and her husband, of over $2 million to the STEAM program at Rockhurst High School. Excited to have you listening today. Again, favorite our show on iTunes, star it, rate it, review it. Appreciate you joining us today on the Grill Nation show. And you can, as always, connect with me on Grill Nation at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation show. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for being with us the last few weeks. We hope you enjoy the show. We'll be right back after the break.
Carrot.
Welcome back to Grill Nation on 980 AM KNBZ. I'm your host, Jason Grill. I appreciate you joining us again today. As always, via the radio, online at grillnationshow.com or on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Appreciate you joining as well via podcast today as well. Very excited about our show today as we briefly previewed in our first segment after the different things we had to get through. We are going to be talking about STEAM education and STEM education on today's Grill Nation show. We've had some discussions about that here recently. Seems to be a very trending topic, but very lucky to have on the show Greg Owsley and Millie Brown, who are involved with the Rockhurst High School STEAM program. And Greg is the director and is also an avid juggler, which we'll get to in a little bit. And Millie Brown is a very well-known philanthropist and has made a very strong contribution to the program, her and her husband at Rockhurst High School. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you. Okay, so first off, let's talk about Rockhurst High School. You know, I've almost went to school there, but I went to St. Pius.
Our last probably.
As a Northland kid, it was like, back then it still seemed far away.
Yeah.
Now not as much.
Now there's a Northland bus that brings all the Rockhurst students.
Yeah, there was a handful of people that went to Rockhurst, but from my grade school, St. Therese, but... tell us about kind of the high school a little bit, and then we're going to get into the programs and how exciting it is, but just kind of what's going on there and the size and what goes on at Rockhurst High School.
Sure. So Rockhurst High School is located on 9301 State Line Road, where the university is 55th and Truce, basically. And the high school is 1,000 all boys. It's the only all-male Catholic Jesuit high school in Kansas City, grades 9 through 12. So with 1,000 students, each class is about 250 students, and mm-hmm. it's happening. Like, students are involved in the arts, they're involved in the sports. A lot of people know us from the sports side of things, but what you don't maybe see is that we'll have a football athlete who on Friday nights is playing a varsity football game, and then the previous Thursday night he's sang in a choir concert and it was just fantastic. So mm-hmm. we really encourage breadth of skills that all of our students learn, and we really try to connect all our students outside the walls of Rockhurst High School as well. So they're doing a lot of service projects. Community service is a major core value of Rockhurst High School.
It always has been. It's always been one of the things that you strive for, and I think it's pretty interesting all the things that are happening. And Millie, how were you connected to Rockhurst? How did you get involved?
Well, my husband is an alumni. Mike Brown is an alumni. My two sons went to Rockhurst High School. I'm actually on the Board of Trustees right now.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Mike and I kind of approached Father Baum and Greg Harkness, the principal, about the beginnings of this STEAM initiative. And the leadership of Rockhurst was amazing. They were all on board and ready to jump on this. They were already looking for a way to begin this type of thinking. And then with a little bit of financial backing, they were able to pull together a dream team, Mr. Owsley and mm-hmm. Mr. Winkler and Mr.
Clark.
J.W. Clark mm-hmm. are the... Mr. Owsley was the chair of the math department. Winkler was the chair of the science department. And J.W. Clark has taken off the computer science department. And together, those three people are just doing some incredible innovation in education, complete education for Rockhurst High School, and eventually taking it out into the community.
And it's not just me. I work with amazing people. So
now,
cool.
Greg, you were, and we'll mention too, like, it was a great donation of over $2 million to this program, by, Millie and her husband, Michael. And really just kind of, it just goes to show you just the community. It's a community there, right? I mean, that's
Absolutely.
What I always thought about Rockhurst. It's a community. And you actually went to school there, right?
Yeah, I'm class of 2000. And, I came back to visit my old math teacher when I was in college and told him I just switched to being a math major. And Mr. Frank Lingar says, well, what are you going to do with that degree? And completely joking, I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll end up here someday. And I don't know why I said that, but I'm fortunate that I did. And he said, well, we need someone to help teach summer school this summer if you're interested. And that seemed a lot more interesting than working at the door factory that I worked on the summer before. So I started teaching summer school when I was 19 and got sucked into education and haven't looked back. I've loved every minute of it.
And also, too, we mentioned the juggling thing.
Yeah.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of the program. So you're a actual professional juggler? Is that true?
Yeah, I juggle for the Moondrop Circus. It's a local community circus. So we do, I have a gig on Saturday, actually. And
look at that.
And so we do stuff like on First Fridays, but we do a lot of like corporate parties and stuff of that nature. But what I love about juggling is it's an engaging activity that's problem solving. It's wrought with failure. So you, in order to get better at it, you constantly have to fail. And those are great life lessons that our students encounter every day in school. So, you know, I teach math by day, juggle by night, but like during the day, like my students, math is hard. And so they struggle, and that's okay. That's part of the learning process. And you have to go through that struggle in order to accomplish whatever goal it is that you have.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. I didn't even know about that. I'm learning something new. And your children went to Rockhurst, and they obviously have done well, it sounds like. So you've been involved as well, just not on the board, but also with family.
Right, but you know what, Mike and I have noticed these young kids coming out of school, no matter what area of that they go into. I have a daughter who was a broadcast journalism major, mm-hmm. who's now doing investment banking. She wishes she had had some coding to do all her modeling.
Mm-hmm.
My son, other son's doing marketing. He felt like he needed a little more because everything now is on the web. It's all digital mm-hmm. advertising. Everything's digital.
Sure.
And I've got a son who's an engineer.
There you go.
Which is one, you know, a different
Perfect.
Thing. But he kind of thought that every student, every citizen kind of needs a stronger base in this. And you know, the United States is lagging in our math scores. And mm-hmm. you know, so and this is a whole new innovative way of teaching it and getting hopefully improving that whole area of math and science.
What and I don't meet many math majors, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, really, seriously, I don't. So tell me about that. Like, I mean, I took calculus and all of those things, and they were a struggle for me. Once you get to college, I mean, that's like, it's like 2 + 2, right? I mean, that's so easy for you.
Oh, you prove why that's true, right? I mean, it's really, being a math major helps teach you how to think. It's about problem solving ultimately. So a lot of my math major friends end up going to law school because they could think logically. And the thing about math is it's just a way of thinking that's actually accessible to everyone. Part of the reason I was asked to be STEAM director is because prior to that, I was the chair of the math department. And when I was first started as the chair of the math department, our department would have about 60 students take the AP calculus exam when they graduated. Now we have over 130. So we more than doubled the number of AP calculus exams being taken. But it's not like we over doubled the amount of quote unquote smart kids that were coming into school. What we did is we created the entire math department as a whole. I just happen to be the chair. We created an environment to allow more students to be successful. And if you can cultivate the right type of environment, then more students can all of a sudden think to themselves, oh, I actually can do math. Like, this is capable. I'm capable of doing this, and they can be successful. Mm-hmm. I had a student transfer into Rockhurst, take my AP Calculus class, and the first couple of weeks, he said, "Mr. Rousey, I love your class. I want to do this, but like, I am not prepared. Like, the school I was at previously, I'm just not ready. But I want to stay in. What do I do?" And I said, "Well, if you trust this process, I will get you to where you need to be. But your choice will be probably a low grade now. But trust me, and we will get you to where you want to go." He had a D+ the first quarter, a C+ the second quarter, then he had a B+ third quarter, he had an A fourth quarter, and got a 5 on the AP calculus exam, which is the highest score you can get. So it's really about creating this environment where every student can thrive. It's not about trying to filter out the quote-unquote smart students from the not-smart students. Everyone is capable. And what we're trying to do with the STEAM program at Rockhurst High School is create opportunities so that every student can be successful, and then share what we've learned with the whole community so that students from the entire Kansas City area can become successful and achieve whatever goal it is that they're identifying for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Tell us more about what actually STEAM is and what kind of is involved with the program.
Sure. So the acronym is Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, Math.
And arts is an addition.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends.
It's more of a national edition.
For us, we were inspired a lot by Rhode Island School of Design, which mm-hmm. really promotes STEAM
Great
versus
school.
STEM. Yeah. But if you go visit Rhode Island, they talk about all their CEO graduates. They don't talk about their famous artists, right? So for us, in the very beginning, we've defined the A as creativity and entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
So entrepreneurship is a major thread within our STEAM initiative. And you know, what is an entrepreneur? An entrepreneur is a person who can actually take an idea and turn it into an actual real product. I have a friend who works for Zahner who used to teach at the Art Institute, and he used to say, you know, I used to think that the best artists, the greatest artists in the world, are the ones that have the greatest ideas. He's like, that's completely false. He's like, The greatest artists in the world were the ones who could take a great idea and turn it into a finished product. And that's true for the greatest scientists. Have a great science idea, actually do the lab. Like, the actual doing step matters to advance the field of science. And for entrepreneurship, for like a business, that's also the case. You know, we identify a problem in the community and then figure out how to actually solve the problem to help the community that you're around make something happen. And all of a sudden you have a business.
Millie, I mean, so are there, how many students are involved in this STEAM program? How does that work? And
every single student.
They all take.
This isn't just in the science and math department. They're, Mr. Owsley has come up with the best classroom environment. What do we call that?
Active learning classrooms.
Active learning classrooms. Okay. And the teachers who loved that the most were the religion teachers, the language arts teachers are loving it. Every student, and every student will have that accreditation as they come out. So yeah, what's our total enrollment?
We have 1,000 students.
Yeah, I want to get to that in the next segment.
Sure, no problem.
The accreditation that y'all got, because it's very impressive. It's one of, I think, only 80 schools in the country.
Correct.
That's amazing. We'll get to that after the break, but this is something that touches every student at Rutgers.
Yes, every single child.
Yeah, and that's something that you don't get at many high schools, and that's one of the perks of going to Rutgers.
Well, we're hoping to lead the way so that other schools can follow our lead and create these opportunities for all their students as well.
Most people I know that came out of Rutgers High School have turned out well and, like you said, are very successful and really care about their community and the civic community, the charitable community and things happening around them. So it's real exciting to hear about this. I want to talk to you about your entrepreneurship class, the coding elements going on at Rutgers, and the exciting accreditation that you got for your STEAM program after the break. You're listening to Grill Nation on 980 AM KMBZ. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM KMBZ, and on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, as well as at grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you joining us today. Very excited to have our guest in studio today, Greg Owsley, STEAM Director for Rutgers High School, and Millie Brown, who is on the board of Rutgers and also a philanthropist, and her husband and her made a sizable donation to spark the STEAM program at Rutgers a few years ago. And Mike and Millie are, Mike is an alum of Rutgers, and they have two children that attended Rutgers High School. So exciting to have them both in studio. We were talking about your accreditation and how neat that is for Rutgers High School, and how it's not very easy to get. And you guys got it for your STEAM program.
Yeah, thanks. So, and it's really a credit to all the great people I work with, because we received it's called a STEM certification. And it's awarded by Advanced Ed. Advanced Ed is an international accrediting agency. So many of the high schools in our area are accredited through Advanced Ed as a school. Mm-hmm. And then they have this addendum certification called the STEM certification. And that's what we received. And you can have a program that's STEM certified or a school that's STEM certified. And so we received it as the entire school, which is an important point to realize.
It goes back to Millie's point that this touches every student.
Absolutely. That's the goal. Like, why wouldn't that be the goal, right? If you accept a student in your school, you're making a commitment to that student and their family that we're going to create the best possible learning environment for that student.
This is the first accreditation of this sort in Missouri and Kansas?
That's correct.
High School.
If you look at all the surrounding states, there's one school in Chicago, but otherwise no other state that's touching Missouri has a school that is STEM certified right now.
Interesting. And how old is the program?
The STEM certification is maybe 4 years old. It's mostly Advanced Ed's main headquarters is in the southeast of the country. So you see more schools in the southeast portion receiving it, but it's spreading pretty quickly.
And you guys' program is not that old either.
So yeah, this is year three. So we moved pretty fast to receive the certification. I was really proud. I'm really proud of all my colleagues because it's not just me. It's way bigger than just me. That's
for sure. We mentioned you have some other teachers that help you with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different parts of the STEM education.
Right. So in order to receive the certification, there are 11 indicators. And indicator one is, how are you promoting STEM education to non-traditional students? And so as an all-male high school, non-traditional in STEM seems to be that might be a barrier to challenge to overcome. But, you know, we did that by, we're saying that we're teaching an introduction to computer science class to every single freshman. So every single student at Rutgers High School learns some coding.
Let's talk about that, Millie, because you mentioned that in the first segment. Tell us about that program, because I hearken back to when I was learning how to type keyboarding class. And I think We did it in high school freshman year, but we might have done something in eighth grade. But it was really mostly in high school where you actually like learned how to actually type and not use the hot and fact method, which me and some friends joke about might be the most important class we ever took as a freshman high school keyboarding class on old Apples. Tell us about why coding is kind of the new keyboarding, because I imagine students learn how to type now. But so early but see, compared
you,
to us.
You don't understand, though. Coding, the best thing that coding does for you to when you learn coding, it's a way of thinking. It's a logical way of working through a process to mm-hmm. achieve a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and when you're piecing things together and then you check to make sure it's working, this is that whether you end up being a programmer or not, this type of if you develop this skill, that's what makes CEOs. That's what makes good vice presidents. That makes good mothers and fathers.
Sure.
Because you learn that decision-making, how to solve difficult problems.
Yeah, and I just think it's awesome that it's offered to every student.
Right.
The class.
Right. And I tell you what, anybody can learn how to code. It's not like someone's born with a computer science gene,
but the,
you know?
But the fact is, if we'll get into this question in a second, is school world and real world. The fact is that... We have people come on the show all the time that say, you know, that we have a lot of tech jobs left unfilled in Kansas City that make six-figure salaries.
Right.
And, you know, starting off at $70,000. I mean, just for coding jobs.
Absolutely.
And there's more of these jobs needed. So you're even, not only are you teaching the analytical and solving problem skills, you're also teaching them, you know, here's a chance to have this opportunity to try this. You might like it. And if you do like it, you can make good money and work for a great company.
Absolutely. Right. Well, unlocking opportunity for students. I mean, coding and computer science is infiltrating every field. It's not just about creating computer scientists that can fill the six figure jobs, which will happen also. But it's also about unlocking opportunity for students who want to go into a separate field and realizing how they can apply computer science to disrupt the field that they're going into. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening, right? The technology is disrupting every industry. I was in a wedding this Saturday, and the groom, I was one of the groomsmen, he just got hired by Harvard Law School because he was a lawyer who decided not to practice law in Boston, and he'd go to the art museum every day and taught himself how to code in Swift and Python, and then Harvard Law School hires him to write applications for all their clinical programs. Like, that job was created for him because he had a skill set, and he jokes, he's like, people in Harvard think I do magic. I'm just the only freaking lawyer in Boston who thought it'd be a good idea to learn how to code. And Boston has like 40% lawyers, right? You know, and so that's the kind of opportunity we're talking about. It's not just the creating computer scientists. It is that, but it's much bigger than that. So it's really exciting.
How many students are there in a class, like one of these coding classes at Rockhurst?
It's a normal class size, like 25 students. Yeah, okay. But it's mostly inquiry driven. Like, students are working on projects. It's not a sage on the stage environment. It's a guide on the side. So the role of the teacher is changing. So the teacher is walking around the classroom. Every student has a computer working on these projects. They learn a language called processing, which is an extension of Java, and they basically created an animation at the end of the day. So they'll have a theme. The student learns the commands. So they learn how to draw a circle. They learn how to draw an ellipse. They learn how to make a triangle. Then they learn how to fill it in with colors. Then they learn how to, and they each have their own, you know, animal per se. So if, let's say, the theme is an ocean, everybody's creating their own sea creature. And then as the course goes on, they learn how to animate it. And by the end of the class, the whole class puts all their creatures together, and you have this a unique aquarium that class created. And so students can see the work that they're doing. And on accident, they happen to be learning programming and logic. And last year, our class average was like 90%. So like every student is being successful. The class average at Rockhurst is not 90%. Like the GPA is not 90%, but all the students were doing this. It was really exciting.
We're talking to Greg Owsley and Millie Brown today about Rockhurst High School STEAM program. One of the other exciting things is the entrepreneurship for others.
Right.
So tell us about that. We have a lot of entrepreneurs that have built successful companies that listen to the show, and a lot of entrepreneurs who have started businesses and are just kind of in lean startup mode now and are hustling. But one of the things we talk about is school world versus real world. And the question to you is, why are they separate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, teachers are encouraged to include real world problems in their classes. Students are always asking, when will I ever use this in my life? Well, so that we assume that these worlds are separate. So let's just break down that barrier altogether and talk about having students working on authentic problems right now. And those are indicators in the STEM certification, students working on real world problems. Indicator 111 is creating adult world connections with students. So the Entrepreneurship for Others class, which we launched this year, there's a guest speaker every week on average, where we have students come into the new pitch space. We have a new learning commons space where we can sort of have this environment where there's a collision of ideas, students are interacting with each other, and within the Learning Commons, there's a pitch space. So a guest speaker will come in, students in the Entrepreneurship for Others class go and listen to the guest speaker talk, and they're required to write a reflection paper. And then throughout the class, the Entrepreneurship for Others class, students are learning an entrepreneurial mindset. So really it's about an entrepreneurial mind, developing and cultivating this entrepreneurial mindset. Students are then challenged to identify a problem in the community that will help the world around them to make the community better, and then create a solution to that problem. And they have to learn about the problem. And that solution might be a product. It might be a service. Who knows? But they'll collaborate with each other. We'll connect them with another alum to help mentor them along the way. And that class will culminate in a business canvas pitch night where they go in front of a public audience, stand in front of a public audience and say, this is the problem we try to solve. This is what we learn from it. Here's where we think we should do moving forward. And it's going to be awesome. It is awesome. Already.
What year are these people that are
juniors and seniors?
Juniors and seniors. Okay. So it kind of helps them to maybe decide on what they want to do when they go to, if they're going to go to college or.
Right. We collaborated with, UMKC Small Business Technology Development Center. Mm-hmm. They have a program called the Ice House Program for, adults that are starting companies. It helps take a small company and make it a sustainable company. So we skipped undergrad, we skipped grad school, we skipped, business school, and we went straight to a non-accredited class that's actual real and works with adults. And we collaborated with UMKC, and they are creating this as a semester course for us that we're launching right now. It's really, really cool.
This is cool. And Millie, it's very important, right, for students to learn about these things. It's non-traditional, but it's becoming more acceptable, I think,
absolutely.
And more needed in our society.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It really is, and I wish I would have had an entrepreneurship, some sort of a class, ended up going to law school, but I just feel like that really kind of changed your mindset, really, and it really kind of puts you together with the real world and real-world thought leaders, and you mentioned the pitch competition,
right?
Which obviously that happens a lot these days for funding,
right?
Or by corporations that want entrepreneurs to come help them. Reverse pitches, but right. It's definitely the norm now. And it's cool that high school students are getting opportunity to do it.
And we're looking to help other high schools. I mean, we're going to have a conference in March where you're partnering with Advanced Ed about the STEM certification. So I've already talked to educators in the community, but, shout out to every educator listening. Or if you're a business owner who has a student in another school, let your school administration know. If that school wants to know what are the steps towards the STEM certification, or at least taking out elements from it, we're going to have this conference March 13th and 14th.
Tell us about the conference.
Yeah, so it'll be March 13th and 14th.
It's 2018.
2018 will be during our spring break, so we can house a few hundred people and not have students in the way. And we're going to have a keynote speaker, and we're going to have guest speakers come in. We'll talk about how to get certified, different programs that work for us, different programs in the city. There's so much happening in Kansas City right now. Kansas City is at an inflection point where it's, reaching, just now realizing its potential. I stole that quote from Victor Huang, who works at the Kauffman Foundation. He's an entrepreneur there. And that's what he said about Kansas City, that it feels like Silicon Valley 40 years ago and Austin 20 years ago. There's so much opportunity right now. So let's connect our students to that opportunity. That's the goal of all this.
There definitely is a lot of resources in town for entrepreneurs, that's for sure. Really exciting. We're speaking with Greg Owsley and Millie Brown. We'll be right back after the break with the last segment of the show today. I really want to hone in on the thing about importance of Kansas City and helping your Men for Others is one of your slogans.
That's right.
Their missions at Rockhurst High School. And I want to talk more about that as well. You're listening to Grill Nation. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM KMBZ, and on podcasts and iTunes and TuneIn Radio. You connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. We've had two great people in from Rockhurst High School today. I was going to pull up your website there. It's rockhursths.edu, talking about the STEAM program as well as your entrepreneurship for others class, your coding classes. We'll get into some of your other programs. One thing that's really important, and one of the reasons why you received your accreditation, is the community. You had a lot of community support for this. Talk about that, because I feel like one thing you guys instill in your students, Men for Others, is working with the community and giving back to the community. But the community also has been very supportive of what you all are doing with the STEAM program.
Absolutely. We're really fortunate to have such an engaged alumni base and parents as well. And, you know, with this, when the STEAM initiative started, we partnered with St. Teresa's Academy, and together we created a STEAM advisory board. And Millie is on this advisory board with her husband, Mike. And we have a lot of really great people on that board. Kevin Truman, who's the dean at UMKC of Computer Science and Engineering. Carrie Keefe, KC Social Innovation. David Reed, who was on this show about a month ago, mm-hmm. who works with the STEAM Studio, and Gould Evans. And that's really exciting. And with that collaboration, for the STEM certification, Indicator 10, 1.10, you need to have community partners. And so it really encourages schools to partner with other schools, other businesses, other organizations to create these opportunities for students. And that's really exciting.
Even before high school, you guys have summer programs for students, correct?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Are coming into Rutgers, robotics courses, camps. Yost did a water robotics course last year.
Students are learning how to make robots and swim. It's pretty awesome.
This is before high school.
Yeah, our robotics teacher, Andy Wilcox, he is something else. He was a former swim coach, actually. He and Paul Winkler won 11 state swim championships. So they've taken that team concept and that love of swimming and now are applying it to robotics.
We got
to
give Greg a shout out too, Millie. He was chosen as Kansas City's top connector in education entrepreneurship.
Yes,
out of 3,000 Kansas
Cityans. We're so proud of him. Yes, he's amazing. He's the dream team.
That was the project with the Kauffman Foundation.
That's
sounds
right.
Like you mentioned Victor. Obviously, you're following what they do as a resource for entrepreneurs and people here in Kansas City with education as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're working with a lot of people in the entrepreneurial space. Kansas City Startup Foundation, Adam Arredondo, they run a Mecca Challenge event for students. It's like a one-day entrepreneurial sprint. So we run Mecca Challenges at Rutgers. It's really important for the school to have someone with a position like mine where I'm not teaching, you know, all day long, and I can go out and make connections in the community.
Very, very important.
Yeah.
I feel like we all fall into that trap in our day-to-day lives.
Right.
We're grinding out work, and we never really go
out. I still
out
teach two classes, and I love. I was talking about Unicircle right before this.
yes. One thing, the reason why this is so important is because of, we talked earlier about the lack of shortfall of educated workforce in the STEAM areas, creating jobs, job preparation. You're doing its part to prepare these young folks before they get to college
right.
on these issues that are needed. I mean, these jobs that are out there that we need to succeed in. Obviously, we're, as a country, we're falling behind in STEAM education. And one of the things you guys are trying to do is combat that and also prepare people for the next steps in life.
Absolutely.
And that's important.
Yes, it is. Very important for the community, for the world.
Yeah. Training the future workforce. And you mentioned Kansas City in our last segment as an inflection point. I mean, what are you seeing as someone that is teaching students, but also kind of involved in the community with the potential here with the tech jobs, with the
right.
STEAM jobs?
Google Fiber came in 2011. We have with the streetcar, Kansas City has the longest stretch of smart city in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a huge in the country in terms of its MBA program. And that's mostly because of its data science certificate. I mean, the world is fundamentally different than when you and I were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't too long ago, actually. So, you know, like there's a
Greg and I are about the same age.
Well, but you look at Cerner's here in town, you've sure. got like six or seven big engineering firms. There's a lot of employment here.
Yeah. And those companies are growing.
Absolutely.
There really is. And now I feel like it's, students are okay with staying around in Kansas
yeah.
City when they come back from college or if they go to college here.
Oh, it's a great place to live. Kansas yeah. City's awesome.
There we go.
Yeah.
And so I feel the same way. That's why I came back here. And Greg, you know, you probably went off to college, and didn't you, in different
yeah,
city?
Yeah, I went
back.
To University of Rochester, and then I came back. And here I am. I love Kansas. Kansas City, it's a great time to be in Kansas City. It's a yeah. great time to be in education.
Mm-hmm.
And not just at Rutgers. I mean, there's a lot of schools doing a lot of innovative things.
And
we're all learning from each
and
other.
And you mentioned you are going to, you assist and you'll help others,
yeah.
other educators out
so
there.
So the motto for a student at Rutgers High School is we want to form them to be a men for others. So for us, how do we model that by being a school for others?
Mm-hmm.
I think the best example of being a school for others is we partnered with St. Teresa's to, bring the Exeter Math Institute to Kansas City. The Phillips Exeter Academy is a high-profile prep school in the Northeast. Mark Zuckerberg went there. And in the 90s, they threw out all their math textbooks and rewrote problem sets. And so students there, it's all problem-based learning. It's all inquiry-driven. So we have their teachers come to Kansas City and teach teachers how this works. How do you have a problem-based learning class? So last summer, we had 105 teachers. Nearly 70% of them were from public and charter schools. And those teachers are going through this 4-day workshop where they're doing math. It's the best math professional development I've ever been a part of, because you're actually doing math the whole time, as opposed to like listening to someone talk about how great their math class is. You are actually solving math problems with colleagues. So you're building connections. You're remembering how hard math is. The biggest comment we get from teachers is, I forgot how math is hard. Like, I'm going to be so much easier for me to empathize with my students now, because I forgot what it felt like to be a student. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this math thing for so long. So yeah, last summer we had 105 teachers. We asked them what their average class size was, added it up, it ended up being 12,000 students. So we'll have the Exeter Math.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll have the Exeter Math Institute next summer. And we want to have every math teacher in the city participate in this training. You know,
and
that's
the math teachers afterwards, after 8 hours of doing math, they would just sit around and yeah. like talking to other math teachers about math. I mean, they felt a relief to find that community.
We're building yes. a professional network, because teachers tend to be isolated within their classroom, within their school. There are all these physical and artificial walls. So breaking down those boundaries so that we're all on the same team as mm-hmm. teachers. Like, we're all educating the future. And so let's work together so we can better leverage that.
Mm-hmm. You should see the faculty offices at Rockhurst. They've opened it up so faculty can interact with other faculty. Mr. Owsley will put some math problem on the whiteboard for anybody to walk by and work on. It's just a whole different way of educating and collaborative, interdisciplinary.
And the space is different too for students. I looked at it and it looked like you guys have been you're at Academic Learning Commons and whatnot on your newsletter.
Yeah,
it's more innovative spaces. It looks like a more of a space I'd see it at a lab or a incubator or an accelerator.
Absolutely.
It's Google right here at Rockhurst High School.
Thanks. Thank
and
you.
And I've been to Google before, and that's yeah. pretty cool.
Yeah, so have I. And that's part of the inspiration of designing these active learning classrooms. So, you know, you see the Learning Commons. That's a large-scale active learning classroom. So we're redesigning all of our classroom spaces to encourage more collaboration. No, one of the values that we promote for our students to form them into men for others, two of those values are loving and open to growth. Well, how do you do that in a classroom instruction environment? Well, you have students talk to each other. So students are at tables. There's a lot more collaboration. If you walk into a typical class at Rockers, it's a lot louder than you probably remember. And I remember when I showed Mike and Millie a couple of years ago, and she walked in the room. She's like, where's the teacher? I don't even know where the teacher is right now, because students are just vibrantly, you know, working on
problems.
Different
way to learn.
Absolutely.
It really is.
And it is like the world that, you know, in the real world, in the entrepreneurial world, you need people to collaborate with each other and have that energy. And that's what we're trying to put in a classroom environment.
So awesome. Greg Owsley, STEAM Director at Rockhurst High School, and Millie Brown. Really appreciate you're on the board at Rockhurst High School, and also a very big contributor to the STEAM program. Thanks for coming on the show today. I'm invigorated. I feel like I need to take a coding class or learn to do something new.
You should. Yes. Greg will teach you.
Yeah, it was really great having you guys on the show, and congrats on all your success, and congrats for helping other educators and people around the community and the country learn and help grow these programs.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Thanks
you
for
very
having
much.
Us.
Thanks for coming on the show today, and it's been great. And we'll see you again next week on Grilled Nation. Appreciate you joining us and listening each and every week. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.